Welcome everybody to session number 6, our last session of the practice building series. I've been hearing good reports anecdotally from various people and from some of you by email that we're actually making a difference and people are actually growing their practices. So tonight we're going to be reviewing the homework from last week and hearing the stories that you've crafted and get a chance to get a feel for that. We're going to be hearing your successes along the way, and we're going to be reviewing the highlights of our time together, and then we're going to talk about some structures that you can put in place in order to continue your practice building momentum. So that's the plan for the call. For those who have accepted my challenge and have added 3 new clients to their practice, we'll be having some emails out to you shortly to tell you when that bonus call will be and what the content is and how to prepare for it and make it really valuable. And for those who have met the challenge but haven't notified me, please make sure you get that information into me, because probably before the end of this week I will be getting the details of that call together and we'll be getting that scheduled probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and you don't want to miss out if you've met the challenge. So that's the game plan for today. It's been an exciting 6 months. It's been a busy month for me, so hopefully it's been a busy month for you. It feels like the economy is starting to improve. The Dow is certainly up, and even though there's still a lot of people without work, there's a sense of optimism in the world, and hopefully you're seeing some of that in terms of the combination of your practice-building efforts and the communities you're working in, generating some new clients. So let's start out with hearing any success stories or reports or anything anybody wants to share about their practice building efforts since we were last together. Who'd like to go first?
Well, I could.
Please.
Okay, you know who this is, right?
No, I have no idea.
No idea. It's Doris. Okay. Well, I got the nerve to bring some brochures and cards to a doctor's office, and it's a gastroenterologist's office, and it really blew my mind when a person called me, a mother who has a child, 38 years old, who has anorexia, and I never dealt with anyone who has anorexia, and it is such a different kind of situation that I've ever experienced. And on some level, I was quite upset when I saw the woman who looked like a skeleton, and her mother said that she's dying on her way out. And I found this very difficult, and I had to also do something that I never did in my entire practice before, and that is she could not walk up. I'm on the second floor of an apartment building, and I have to go see her at her place. And fortunately, it's about a 3-block walk, which is not bad. And she does not have a massage table, which was also like, wow, what am I going to do? She's on a bed, but it's a good type of bed, a high bed, and there's no headboard. So I'm able to walk around and I'm able to sit. They gave me a chair and so on. And I'm also dealing with her mother, who says right in front of her that I can't take her anymore, I have to separate myself, and she's dying, and I just don't want to be part of it. And wow, oh, did that, you know, slap me around. So I've seen her twice so far, this woman with anorexia, and she has said to me that she absolutely loves me and wishes that I was her mother. So that, you know, gave me the oomph to keep going. But it's something that I think I'm going to call somebody that I know for some supervision, because I want to make sure that I'm doing everything right, because it's a very difficult case. And
sure.
When I put my hands on her in the Rubenfeld Synergy Method manner, all I feel are bones. I feel no flesh. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure we could talk more about that, and we could
get
into a discussion about the clinical issues there, and that's not the purpose of this call. So
no.
Thank you for that. But I think the important piece from what you're sharing story-wise is that you're continuing to do your outreach efforts to get your brochures and flyers out to other people.
Right.
People are paying attention and calling you, so congratulations and good luck
right.
with this case.
Thank
Who
you.
Else has something to share?
Well, this is Joan speaking. I attended a conference with my husband a few weeks ago, and of course, a lady sat with me at the table and asked me what I did, and I told her I was a synergist, and she said, well, I've never heard of that. And the way I told her what I did as a synergist is I told her stories. I told her client stories, and it was really effective because I found the conversation was she would ask questions, and she was interested, and I just found it very effective. So that's one thing. But I have another thing, too, is I decided I was going to change my name from Sam Rumenfeld Synergy Method, that's what I do, to using Synergy for Health. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask some of my regular clients what they thought. And right away, as soon as they heard the Synergy for Health, they just jumped on it and said, yes, that's going to make it a lot more easier for me to explain what you are about, because people just don't connect with the word Rubenfeld, but when I can say synergy, they can connect with that. So that was kind of a boost for me to hear them respond in that way.
That is brilliant. Mark, make a note of that, because I think that's a real breakthrough that other people ought to be looking at. But look, what a beautiful job you did. One of the things we talked about in this call is partly review, so this is, I love it when you tee up my review subjects, but we talked about telling people who you are in an intriguing way that elicits conversation. And when you said you're a synergist, it got people's curiosity, which got you into a dialogue. And then when you got into the dialogue, you followed another thing that we talked about that's really important, is you talked about it in terms of stories that people could relate to rather than trying to explain what a Rubenfeld synergist does. And then to top it all off, you thought about renaming what you do in a way that gets people intrigued and interested and puts in one sentence the whole purpose in what you're doing, which is just brilliant. So congratulations. That's great work, Joan.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Who else has something to share?
I can. This is Carol Nichols.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Carol.
I have found a way that is comfortable for me to reach a number of people, and that is, I have a studio downtown, and I share it with someone. I am offering Feldenkrais floor sequences, and what I've found is that once people come and after the floor sequences, we start sharing, they get very interested in the work, because that's when I combine everything together and not just the floor sequences. So it has really opened up a way, again, that is very comfortable for me, and then it opens up into beautiful sharing with people coming to see me.
That's great, because you found it easy to talk about Feldenkrais. It's a brand name that's got more
recognition. Yeah.
Recognition, thank you. So it gets people interested in you, and then after they've gone through the Feldenkrais work with you, they've already connected with you, and then you've set up a way for people to share and talk about things, and it allows you to very naturally introduce the full spectrum of what you provide for people. And, of course, they're going to be interested in that.
Yep.
That's great. Brilliant. Very good. And you, and what I like also, and again in our summary fashion, is one of the things we talked about in the early call is that if you're going to be an effective marketer, you've got to come up with a strategy that's comfortable for you to do all the time. It can't be something that, oh, my God, I've got to have my marketing day on. I'm going to hate that. Or, it can't be something that you're avoiding. It's got to be something that is a natural, easy expression. And by figuring out that strategy, and that's a strategy you can replicate, because you can offer a floor sequence program every week or every 2 weeks or whatever.
Yep.
And you've got to,
yep.
And you can keep fine-tuning how you get the word out, how many people, and what you'll ultimately discover is every time I offer one of these things and I get 10 people to show up, I'm making these numbers up, four of them get really interested in Rubenfeld and two of them end up being clients in my practice. So you know that every time you offer one of these things, you're going to get two more clients. So it almost becomes as easy as operating the vacuum cleaner. To make the vacuum cleaner work, you got to take it out of the closet, you got to plug it in, you got to turn it on, and you can ultimately get your marketing down to be a set of replicable steps when you come up with a formula that works for you, that's comfortable and easy for you to do over and over again. Great work. Who else has something to share? These are exciting. I'm thrilled. Some of you guys in the back rows, I know you've got stuff to share and you're being shy. Okay, going once, going twice, we'll move on. So the homework for this session was to fine-tune your story. And as Joan illustrated by Emil, it tells stories about clients and what you do. It helps people really connect. And so I'd like to hear some of those stories that you've crafted so other people can benefit from your brilliance. Who'd like to share one of their stories?
Well, I could start if you like, Joan speaking.
That'd be great. Sure.
I had a client come to me feeling very emotionally traumatized. She was suffering from a painful jaw that was tight and twisted, and she complained about shoulder and neck pain. And from experience, I realized that tension in the jaw can often be connected to the neck and shoulders. So when she lay down on the treatment table, her shoulders were so tight that they couldn't lie flat on the table. And when I placed my hands under her shoulders, they felt as hard as a board. Interestingly, when I asked her what her shoulders felt like, she said, well, they feel like hard boards like we see in hardwood flooring. And so I asked her, what are those boards doing there? And her response was, protecting me. And so I asked her, you know, protecting you from what? And eventually a story emerged about the way that she was traumatized by her family and her need to be loved and accepted by them. And as our dialoguing progressed, I really noticed that her shoulders were relaxing, and I asked her what was happening with her jaw. And to her amazement, she stated that the tension was releasing. And do you know what her comment was? She said, I feel like there's some hope for me.
Wow.
Cool.
That's great. And Joan, it's a brilliant story because I think I didn't time it, but it took about a minute. There was a way you told it that you clearly were relevant with the facts, and you had gotten it edited down to the essential bits we needed to know to follow along. And it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It had that arc that we're talking about, and had a resolution that was a little bit unexpected. Yeah, we figured at the end of the story she was going to get better, because why would you tell a story? But there was a surprising resolution. So it makes me safe when I hear that story to open up to you and talk about something that I've got going on that I never thought anyone could possibly deal with, because you've just demonstrated, without explaining a lot of how you magically do it, but I got that you could help me. That's great. Nice job.
Thank you.
Who else has a story they want to share?
Well, I did share something on the blog. Does that mean that I shouldn't bother now?
No, please go ahead.
Yeah. Because this client of mine, Danny, a 53-year-old man, came in to see me because he said he had low self-esteem and always felt unsuccessful and always put himself down. Now, on the table, we did this progressive relaxation and visualization, and I asked him what he was experiencing in his body, and he said, at my neck and shoulder area, I'm experiencing pain. And then I had him use an image to describe his pain. He said, I see a brick wall, a wall I can't climb over to get to the other side. And I said, well, tell me about what's on the other side. He said, positive pursuits, creative writing, painting, photography. And he suddenly saw his dad's face on the brick wall. And his dad said to him very strongly, you'll never get over the wall. Don't even bother trying. And Danny said that's the way his dad always spoke to him, even when he was 7 years old and into his teenage years. He always criticized him and told him he just didn't get anything right and that he'll never amount to anything in life. So I had Danny go to a particular incident, he had when he was young and give answers to his dad's comments. And Danny very angrily told his dad off, and something he had never done when his dad was alive. And I asked Danny, what would an ideal dad have said? And Danny said, you're a great son. You accomplished wonderful things. I truly love you. And then Danny said he felt so much better now. The pain in his neck and shoulders was gone. The brick wall tumbled down, showing him positive paths ahead. And Danny told me he couldn't thank me enough for the session.
Well, that's terrific. Again, a very tight, concise story. I'd say there was just a little bunch too much detail in the just before the finish part, so you might want to just trim that down in terms of what went on. But I think it's a very effective story, and again demonstrates an unexpected magical result that no one could expect from one session with anybody. So, very good. Who else has a story to share?
I can if you like. This is Carol Nichols again.
Sure.
All right. When applying for RST 7, I had to write down what personal healing I needed. 20 years earlier, as an 18-year-old, I became pregnant. I was a freshman in college. My first love and father of that child was off to the Vietnam War. After much turmoil, agony, and drama, my mother won out, and I had an abortion. For the ensuing 20 years, this illegal abortion caused much damage on my body, mind, and soul. As I received private sessions from Synergists during the training, I think I had healed and dealt with much guilt, blame, shame, and grief. Slowly, surely, I was healing, working through the many layers of emotions. I was told I'd never have children since the abortion caused a mass to grow in me. After an operation, I had only one mangled ovary and tube left. In my third year of RSM training, I went to my doctor in pain, and after an ultrasound, which revealed a black growth in my abdomen, he said most likely it was cancer, and he'd operate after I returned from my trip in the magical Southwest. When I returned, the ultrasound revealed the black mass had dispersed, not a good sign, and there was more news. I was pregnant. Talk about the healing touch of Rubenfeld Synergy. My path through the training had been no less than miraculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, and I know people are telling the story relatively quickly here. Just one thing I'd caution you on, Carol. You want to have these stories come out as you're relating them, not as if they're a polished written piece.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. Yep.
Yeah. And,
it's just hard for me.
Yeah, I understand. But the more you tell it naturally and conversationally,
yeah,
rather than trying to read something that's written, it'll become a more comfortable retelling of something. And I might edit the story a little bit because the part where they diagnose the black mass and it's cancer and we'll probably have to operate, and then the next place we're in the story, it's you've gone off to a Rubenfeld training and you've come back and all of a sudden it's dispersed, but now you're pregnant. It's a little too, almost too magical. So the odds are you were probably pregnant before you went to the Southwest, I'm guessing, and it just, they didn't.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So there just may be a way to make it a little simpler there, because you don't want to have people leaving with, well, I'm not going through a whole Rubenfeld training program, so I couldn't possibly have the results you've gotten.
Got it. Yeah.
So you may just want to edit it a little bit more so that people can see themselves there and get the essence of what it is. But, you know, what a beautiful story. And certainly a revealing of yourself, which will have people connect with you better as well. So very nice job.
Excuse me. I have a question about that, about revealing about yourself, because when you're trying to get a client, is that wise to tell a story about yourself and how, you know, you got better, or you really should make it like another person went through that rather than yourself?
I don't have an opinion either way about it. I think to some extent it looks like what you practice for other people, you have practiced on yourself, so it demonstrates an affinity for eating your own cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it connects me more directly with you. So there may be some therapeutic guideline that relates to that that I'm not conversant with and have a different opinion, but I don't, on the face of it, have an issue with it. And I think it for me, it feels very connective.
Because I always have that thing come up, you know, how much do you share of your own experience with a client when you're working with a client, and, you know, how much you might share with some other, you know, story about another client as you're working with a client. I was told somewhere along the line that you don't share your own personal story with the client, you know, so that's why I was curious about your point of view. I mean, this is just something that, you know, from some workshops or whatever that I've heard.
In my own coaching practice, I share about my life all the time.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Any other comments on this briefly before we move on?
Doris, what we're doing here at least is a 30-second, maybe even 60-second story. And, yes, I would get some idea of the fact that she had trouble getting pregnant, got pregnant or something. But it's not the same as sharing more than that. I mean, it's not a deep sharing. It's a sharing of a story in 30 to 60 seconds, so it's not a huge amount of self-disclosure.
I see.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
Okay, good. Any other thoughts? Okay, very good. Let's keep moving. Anybody else have a story to share before we move on to the next section? Hearing no nominations from the floor, we will move forward. So what I want to do now in this next section is go back and review a little bit in retrospect, some of the key things that we talked about over the different sessions, and ask you to share some of what you're doing in each of those things. So the first concept we talked about in the very first session was getting into the habit of regularly marketing and doing it in a way that's comfortable and having a single daily action so that every day you knew you were doing something to build and grow your practice. And you've now had 6 months almost to be working with that concept of a single daily action. So I'd like to hear from a few of you what in that grouping of six, what in that of that single daily action technique has really worked for you and that you've been able to put in place, or what difference this particular skill has made in your practice building efforts. So who has something to share about that?
Well, this is Erica. I would share that I've been doing a lot of writing. I'm in a group called a tribe where you syndicate each other's work. And so every single week I write a blog. And I'm noticing because of that, because the people in the tribe are commenting on my blog, when I go to Google for the words, my words, like marriage counseling, sex therapy in my area, Boca Raton and Deerfield Beach, I'm right on the first page of Google. So it's getting me more clients through the internet by writing.
Terrific. And have you gotten more clients other than getting great page rank?
No. Yes, you know, that's what happens. I'm right there, so people are coming. A lot of people are coming through the internet.
Oh, great. How many clients did you say you've added because of that strategy?
I can't think of numbers exactly, but I just know that it's steady. You know, regularly I get the phone calls.
That's great. Very good. So that's a strategy that you've been writing, and it produced almost an unintended consequence. And because you're part of a tribe, you've got to keep it. It sort of forces you to keep going.
It pushes me to keep doing it, but I have noticed that it also is getting me ranked well.
That's great. That's terrific.
So that's just one, and I find writing easy. So you have to also do what you find easy to do.
Yeah, that's a perfect demonstration of something that's easy and comfortable for you to do that you can keep doing every day that, again, is like plugging in the vacuum cleaner. It seems to make more sense. Very good. Who else has a demonstration of it?
Erica, I'm wondering why they why people find your blog. I mean, there's a billion blogs out there, but if I'm hearing you correctly, people find it.
Not so much strange, you know, people from everywhere. I'm involved in a group. It's about 135 people. Anyone can join it.
Uh-huh.
Called TSA, Tribe Syndication Association. But once you're in there, you get into a group of 10 each week, and our goal is like everyone has a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever day, and
right.
the other people in the group comment on your blog or follow you on Twitter and stuff. So you're getting that influx.
I see.
It's a lot of work, though. You have to write your blog every week, and you have to comment
on other
people. Realizing the value of it.
Thank
Tribe
you.
Syndication, what's the last word, please?
Association.
Okay.
Very nice. Who else has a single daily action that's been working for them? So we're to take the silence from I'm not doing a daily action, my daily action doesn't work, my partner's let me down, or I just am too shy to talk.
Well, one of my daily actions basically is leaving flyers at different stores. As I say, if I go into a doctor's office now, I bring, you know, it with me. And, you know, sometimes I got a call just the other day from somebody who found, again, my flyer. I left it in a dry cleaner place, and she said that she's going to try to get her relative who lives in Port Washington, who's going through a divorce, to call me because I spoke to her for a while, you know, about the Rubenfelds and so forth, and she loved the idea of the touch and, you know, that type of healing. And so far I haven't heard from her, you know, her relative, but I'm hoping I will. But it made me feel good that somebody, you know, paid attention to it and grabbed my phone number, which, you know, you can peel off at the bottom, rip off, and actually called me from a flyer. So that makes me feel encouraged. And I have other parts of Port Washington I haven't even gone to as yet. I've only done the part that's near me. But I think I'm going to, you know, make it my business to go elsewhere in Port Washington.
And you know, and not everybody on this call, Doris, would be comfortable going in and offering flyers, but you're getting it down to a science, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Keep cranking. Very good. Right. Anybody else have a single daily action they want to share? Okay.
I just realized that I wasn't thinking of this as a single daily action. Because it's not technically out in the real world, but doing some visualizing after or during meditation of, you know, clients coming, people calling, different ways of actually visualizing something happening, feeling how it would feel when that happens, and even seeing beyond it to the next step, what would be happening once the practice is really established, but doing it that way.
And what's come of doing it?
Well, I mean, I've gotten a few new clients, so I guess it's doing something. I don't know how to, it's not directly related to somebody picked up my flyer, but.
Well, you know, we all affect the world in lots of different ways. And
yeah.
At the most basic level, you every day in meditation visualizing a fuller practice is going to make the notion of practice building and being available for new clients and thinking of things to do that might grow your practice more present than if you weren't doing that at all.
Right.
So an action that, even if it's just a presencing conversation, is still a single daily action. And, you know, again, we got to find ones that work. Any other ones before we move on?
Well, I will admit a cynical daily action.
Okay.
I realized that some of the practices that I was doing that were supportive, I stopped doing. Like, I stopped meditating. I'm not sure why. And that my single daily action is challenging some negative feelings about the future that I let over-influence me, that I have been keeping a positive flame alive, even though it's been tough. And I've had some clients leave for no discernible reason. maybe the economy hit them or whether they didn't. One man left me a text message that he wasn't coming in tomorrow. We can talk about it. And then when I called to follow up, he never picked up. And I've not been successful in getting and having closure with him. So that was a, you know, I've had some bummers the last couple of months.
So I'm not quite sure what I get. What I get is a cynical daily action. I'm not quite.
It's not. It's actually. Maybe it's more redemptive than cynical, but it's challenging the cynical part of myself.
Got it. So every day you're challenging your view of the world. Is it really the view of the world? Could there be a different view of the world? Should I be viewing the world differently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I see people coming to my practice again?
That's great. Well, and that may be the first step for you.
Yeah.
Because if you're walking around saying, oh, no one wants to go to my practice, that's not a particularly inspiring space to generate, hey, I'm a synergist. I can really make a difference. It's like,
right.
Hey, my world sucks. Would you like to have your world suck too? So it's not a bad start to catch your own thought patterns. And remember, whatever your single daily action is this week might be this week's single daily action. You may have a new one by the time we get to next week. So that's not a tragedy, and you've got to be doing what works. And again, it's all what's in support of you ultimately growing your practice. And that may be one set of behaviors today and a different set of behaviors next week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So very nice. Anybody else on this one?
This is Bev. I particularly had a rough 6 weeks. My mom passed October 2nd, and so I was completely distracted. While I was in Florida, though, dealing with the American Medical Circus, I found myself giving out my brochures because people would say, what is it that you do? And their observation of me working with my mother through her illness caused some curiosity and comment. And I thought that as I processed my potential relocation, perhaps to Florida and the Del Rey area, I found myself making connections with people who would say, I have a friend who does alternative healing and stuff like that. So I'm feeling like I've made connections for a possibility if indeed we go back and spend some time in Florida. So that was interesting to me. When I got back, I had lost contact with, my current small crop of clients. I work part-time. And they reached out to me to see if I was back. Tonight I just did the first session since being away, and I have another session scheduled for tomorrow evening, and that's giving me courage to get back into things. Upon my return, I went to a spiritual retreat on one day, and speaking with in relationship to meditation, I saw in my meditations a glowing spinal column and my hands actually approaching the spine. And that surprised me because I thought I was in retreat trying to adjust myself from this my mother's passing, but I indeed saw myself working. I also saw myself sitting in a chair, beautiful gray suede chair, with a background, a glass window behind me, and I saw myself actually from a client's point of view. So it's creeping into my psyche each time I realize I'm having these images come up, that they're not imaginings, that they are just waiting to occur. I also have been doing similarly to Doris. I really have a beautiful new package of paperwork, and I find myself going to one or two places where I've left my materials and realizing they're not there anymore. So people are picking stuff up, and although I haven't had any contacts yet, I'm expecting that I will.
Very nice. And I think there are a couple of things I want to point out to what you did was we're all going to get sidetracked in life. We're all going to have big things come up. And if your purpose and intention has some clarity, you can use whatever you're doing to forward what you're up to. And you can use that as a way to keep learning and serving the direction you're going. The second thing is, I think you beautifully demonstrated earlier in the call, we had someone who said that she's regularly meditating and visualizing her practice, and I think you've seen a similar experience happen in your practice for yourself. And what I think the message you're getting for yourself is you are integrating your inner practice builder with your inner synergist and seeing it as all one big thing, that's what you're up to doing. So that's a beautiful demonstration of that as well. Very nice.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say something. I'm not sure who it was that was just speaking.
It was Bev.
Oh, Bev, hi. I just wanted to say that I live very close to Delray Beach. So if you're in Florida, please.
I would love to. And I'm sorry, who am I speaking with?
Oh, Erica.
Erica. Oh, delicious. Well, I'll be down in January, and I'll make an effort to contact you.
Oh, that would be great.
Thank you.
Terrific. Very nice. Anybody else have a single daily action strategy they want to talk about? Very good. Well, the next thing we did after getting in the habit of having a single daily action, we also asked you to put together a support system. We're going to talk about this some more in a minute, but we asked you to have a buddy that you would work with. And we haven't talked a lot about that, but I'm just curious, does anybody have any stories or things to share about working with their buddy that supported them in this practice building process? Was having a buddy worthwhile?
Well, this is Joan speaking. One of the things I've been struggling with and is the aspect of increasing the price of my sessions, because I haven't done anything for a few years. And I've actually got two buddies I'm working with right now, and both of them have been very good at expressing, you know, Joan, you've got to increase your prices, and this is what you should do, and they've been very supportive behind that, encouraging me in that way.
Very good. Any other buddy stories?
Well, I'm at the juncture of getting a buddy. I spoke to somebody at one of the library concerts in town, and turned out that she does Reiki, and I do Reiki, you know, as well as Rubenfeld, and she invited me. She's having her first big meeting and having a lot of people, and I said, can I bring my brochures and cards and, you know, talk a little bit about myself? She said, absolutely, you know, we're in this together, and I'm just thinking as you're talking that she could develop into some kind of buddy support group.
Very good. Any other buddy stories?
This is Deborah. David, are you going to elaborate about the buddy? Because for some reason I'm not recalling how this is different from having a partner.
It's the same thing. I'm asking for reports on how you found working with a partner benefited your practice.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else have a partner or buddy story to share that would be helpful to the other
people? Well, this is Erica. I would just say that Doris has been my buddy, and we haven't spoken as often as we could, but it was just very helpful. I could freely speak with her about whatever the truth is about what's going on, and I found that very helpful. And also, she's doing different things than I'm doing, so it reminds me maybe I can go and put some more flyers out.
Excellent. Very good. Any other buddy or partner stories?
Well, it's Bev. I just wanted to acknowledge my buddy for staying in touch with me and keeping me posted on things that she was doing. And it made me able to pull myself back and respond. And that was really important, particularly at this time.
Very good. I'm going to use this as a segue into one of the structures for follow-on that I recommend you do after this class is over. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other things in a minute, but you've started in this class a process getting into the habit of actively building your practice. And one of the things we put in place was to give you a support system, and some of you have used it to great advantage. I'm sure some of you have not used it as well as you could. Others didn't find the right buddy whatever the conversation may be. But there are going to be two things I recommend you do related to partners for buddies. One is make sure that after this program that you and your buddy have what I'm going to call a completion of this phase call, which is where you get together and you thank each other in a formal way for working and supporting each other, talk about what you both learned, and then look and see going forward, is that buddy relationship something that's worth continuing? Would you be better off getting a different buddy? But to complete that relationship and then look and see what the next transitional relationship should be, this buddy or a different buddy. But I recommend, and many of you won't do it, even though I'm saying you should, I recommend that you get a buddy or a partner that you continue to work with for some set period of time to keep yourself focused on building your practice. You won't have these monthly calls to come to, which will be a jog in your brain. And without a structure of support and a logical way to think about it, it'll be easy for some of you to fall into the habits you had before of focusing all on the practice or not remembering to do a single daily action or not doing what we worked hard to get installed. So you want to make sure that you have a system that keeps you honest and keeps you focused on doing what you love to do. Because without clients, your practice is not viable. And really the whole purpose of this call and this series was to have all of you have very viable practices as a part of having RSM be viable in the world. So strong recommendation to make sure you have active and vibrant partner and support relationships going forward. So the next piece of content we worked on was learning how to talk about Rubenfeld in a way that people could quickly understand it, didn't require a lot of explanation, didn't require a lot of jargon, but that people could get how Rubenfeld would be beneficial. Some of that was just how you describe yourself, and then some of that was further the story work that we've gotten into where people can really understand what Rubenfeld can accomplish, because it helps people get focused on the results, not the process. The process is boring. The results make all the difference. There's a famous guy I know who had some stomach disorder and was troubling him, and he consulted with lots and lots of people to get it fixed. And he was on a variety of diets, a variety of medications, acupuncture, probably some other crazy therapies that we don't have the name for. And one person went up to him one day and they said, gee, it's great that you're doing all this stuff, but how will you know which one of them got the job done? His answer was, I don't care. I just want the job done. And at the end of the day, your clients don't really care whether you're a Rubenfeld synergist, a therapist, a Reiki specialist, or whatever. All they want is to be healed. And if you've got a way to heal them, they're very interested in that. So that's a place to keep remembering. And I think it was Joan that shared the beautiful example of synergy for health. If I miscredited you, I apologize. Has anyone else come up with a way that they're talking about their Rubenfeld work that they found has worked particularly well for people?
This is Heather.
Yeah.
I'm on a continual quest right now in looking for simple explanation. And one of my clients a couple of weeks ago said that what the sessions give her is a type of touch that she has never experienced, and she doesn't really get any other touch in her life, and how important that just the touch alone is for her.
Mm. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? One of the things that we frequently talk about is that people routinely don't ever feel listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just having someone listen to somebody oftentimes is all they need. And I think touch is in that same category. and we forget how elegant it is in its simplicity and how powerful it is. And I believe that one of the ways some of you folks have talked about Rubenfeld is listening touch, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, which is a fairly powerful combination of the two things that people generally don't get enough of. Very nice. Anything more about that, Heather?
Well, just to say it's sort of in formulation, because I believe that, you know, that really landed for me as well. And it'll work its way into part of, you know, what it is that I offer.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you're in exploration and you're looking for simple and you're doing what we also talked about, which was keep testing things.
Mm-hmm.
Try things out. See which things work, see which things don't work, and just keep
mm-hmm.
refining. Very nice. Anyone else have a way of talking about Rubenfeld that they've been experimenting with or using?
I did try that idea of releasing your problems, like through your body as well as your emotions, and how much stronger and, you know, more complete they could be released if you do them simultaneously with this body work. And I very often will talk to somebody, let's say if I'm on the railroad, I'm in railroad or something, and the other day I started to talk to a person, and it turned out that she was actually the English teacher of my daughter many years ago.
Oh, wow.
That was like, wow, you know, I couldn't believe that. I was talking to her, and I gave her a brochure and card, and she said that she had somebody that she knew that she would give it to, you know, but as yet I haven't heard back. But she was, like, intrigued with that part, that, oh, you release on both levels? Oh, that sounds great, you know. She seemed to be, you know, excited about that idea.
Very nice. One of the things to be careful about is in your conversation you will get people intrigued and interested. And if you don't give them a next action that's already kind of scheduled and figured out in that conversation, the odds of them, when they get home and get involved in all the rest of the things they're doing, remembering to call you and schedule it and set it up, et cetera, is very slim.
Mm.
So you will create a lot of openings. We've heard this on the call a few times. You'll create a lot of openings and interest that nothing ever comes of. And one of the things that we didn't get into in this call, but I'll give it to you as a way to start thinking about, because it's more of an advanced technique, but how do I take that interest that I've been able to develop, and how do I help a person make a commitment to an action in the conversation, not next week, not next year, not whatever. And sometimes it's as simple as if they're intrigued, getting their information, giving them your information, and offering to follow up with them in a week's time or the next day or some other thing where the next action's not dependent on them but it's dependent on you. And there's other strategies that we can get into if we had more time, but that's the next place, is how to make sure that these openings and interest you create, you can actually migrate into a committed action rather than an interested action. Very good. Anyone else? We're running short on time here, so anyone else have a way that they talk?
I just got a thought in my head.
Quickly, Doris.
That. And that is, what do you think of the idea, like if I had said to that woman, the first session is no charge. Is that
I think that's a
sense?
Great way. Yes. May I schedule it for you? Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good. Anyone else have a way they're talking about Rubenfeld?
I have a way that's talking about the old bird flies into the window and falls to the ground and takes care of himself by shaking himself out and resting and everything, and that we as humans don't do that because instead we go, who put that window there and why did it happen? Or I'm so stupid I flew into a window. And I presented this, I'm giving the very short version, and I apologize because if I explained it more it might make more sense, but
yeah.
I did this at a presentation where 10 practitioners were presenting themselves, and people really loved it and seemed to get it. So, which is the body-mind connection and how, you know, the animals innately have a way of releasing stuff out of the body, whereas we humans end up stuck in our thought processes that helps things stay stuck. The other thing I wanted to share was what I had emailed David was that what I found was that the people who were coming weren't necessarily coming directly from the actions. That I had a client who had seen me 15 or 20 years ago who suddenly called, you know, just out of nowhere. And I believe it was from the result of the actions, even though it wasn't, they didn't pick up a flyer, they didn't see anything, that it just suddenly, it's like there's a way in which it's almost like, I want to call it magic, but where putting all this effort out produces a result anyway, and it may not be directly that person came, but suddenly it happened.
Yes, and I'll just capstone that. When I first started one of my companies 25, 26 years ago, it was a new business. We didn't have a lot of clients, and we'd be busy doing the client work, and then we'd have downtime. And one of the things that routinely worked for us was whenever we were short on clients and short on anything else to do, we would go clean the warehouse. And every time we'd clean the warehouse, within 2 to 3 hours, at the most of cleaning the warehouse, the phone would ring.
Wow.
Some new client or some piece of business. Happened consistently. And what I think happens is, and I can't explain it, but you folks are spiritual enough and metaphysical enough to get it, but it comes to what we were talking about earlier in the call, this continuing visualization, meditation, purposeful activities focused around that. And your story is a good one of, I've done a lot of stuff, none of the clients have come from that, but I'm busy doing those things and clients show up. So my recommendation is keep doing those things working. And who cares at the end of the day as long as they keep showing up. So it's a beautiful example of that. I can't explain the theory particularly well. Someone probably can who's more gifted than I. But again, purposeful, intentional behavior, routinely practiced in an integrous, consistent way, will almost always produce good results. Now, don't hear this as magical thinking. If I go sit in the corner of my room and just think really hard about having clients, they will show up. They won't. You've got to do things that are actively interested in attracting and getting clients going, and they may come through a different door once that's all happened. So that's the scoop on that. Let me just recap real quickly and close up our call. The things that we focused on in this call were getting in the habit of doing single daily actions, doing things that you are comfortable and easy to do. We talked about having referral sources and taking great care of those referral sources. We talked about coming up with a compelling way to talk about Rubenfeld in a way that people got it and weren't focused on process. We moved on to talking about stories that people could envision and see themselves in your practice through the stories of other people. And we talked about having a support system so that you stay focused and keep doing these actions over and over and over again so that you can ultimately build a machine that generates clients for you so that you can spend time doing what you all love to do, which is making a difference for people and positively impacting people's lives. None of you went into RSM so you could become a great practice builder. You went into RSM so you could deliver great results for people. And unfortunately, both people, things go hand in hand, which is why we structured it with doing things that you love to do, not doing things that you hate to do. Seems obvious, but as you all have had a chance to practice, it makes a difference. There's more to say, but what there is to do in the future is to test and refine and test and refine and keep noticing what works and keep noticing what doesn't work. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to try new venues. Don't be afraid to partner with people. Look for ways to turn engaged conversation into committed action. And those are all some of the things that you can move on forward to make things happen. But the biggest piece, and we talked about it before, that will make the biggest difference for you in building a practice is have a structure, have a support system, whether it's a to-do list every day, do my marketing action, I can't have my cup of coffee until I do that, or whatever game you play with yourself. But make sure you continue to stay in action. You guys have invested a lot of time and effort, not just attending these teleclasses, but working with your partners, putting these things into place, and you're starting to build momentum. And we've seen some beautiful examples and some beautiful growth over these 6 months. And what I want to hear from you over time is, wow, the things I started there, I can now look back and see that I've got a full practice, and it went higher than I ever thought, that I've gotten past my cynical nature, and I'm now really serving people. But we've laid a very solid foundation, and if you take care of this foundation and continue to nurture it and grow it and practice it, and that's the key, practice, 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 you can build a thriving, successful, vibrant practice. So congratulations to all of you. Thank you all for your active participation, your courage to share what's working and not working in your stories. It's really been fun working with all of you and really fine-tuning how you guys can build a very effective Rubenfeld practice, and I've been touched by your stories and your emails, and it's been a privilege to work with you all. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, David.
Thank you.
It's been great.